Today, tragedy hits a Nashville school as people mourn the loss of their children. Trans activists turn violent across not just the country, but the world. And new January 6th footage shows undercover DC cops helping people into the Capitol. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and today a community mourns the loss of both students and staff at a Nashville elementary school after an active shooter situation unfolded in the early afternoon. Now, obviously, with breaking news, the details are ever-changing, but here's what we know as of the time of this taping. The attack took place at Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, a private Christian school for pre-K up to sixth grade. It only has about 200 students, so a very small, very local school. Now, police have said that this shooter was a 28-year-old female and carried two rifles and a handgun and entered the building through a side door before climbing the stairs to the second floor, where she then opened fire. Three young students and three adult staff members were pronounced dead after arriving at the hospital, and the shooter was killed by police upon arrival. Now, the latest reporting indicates she previously went to the school, but no known motives have been shared at this time. And I don't feel like I can stress enough. Initially, there were reports that said that the shooter was a teen. Then the police came out and said that it is a 28-year-old female. So these are the facts as we are hearing them from law enforcement agencies. Like with Uvalde, we know they can tell us something, and the next day they can give us a completely different rundown of events of what happened. So we can only go by the information that we are being given, but that is the information that we have been given. So really no information at all other than what I just told you. And we don't even know if that's true, okay? But even though we still don't know why all of the details that you would think you would want to know, that hasn't stopped the Biden administration politicizing the tragedy. Just grotesque, disgusting, bottom of the barrel display saying, we need to do something. That's always what it is. Do something. We don't know what, but everyone's upset and riled up. So let's do something. Here is White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre feeling so strongly about this issue that she just reads words from her paper and even stumbles across those words because she's just so passionate. Watch.
We must do more, and he wants Congress to act, because enough is enough. In his State of the Union, the president called on Congress to do something to stop the epidemic of gun violence, tearing families apart, tearing communities apart. How many more children have to be murdered before Republicans in Congress will step up and act to pass the assault weapons ban? To close loopholes in our background, in our background check system, or to require the safe storage of guns. We need to do something.
And here was our ever competent President Joe Biden speaking after the school shooting. Watch.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding.
Remember when all of the left-wing pundits told us the adults were back in charge? Interesting. I'd like to welcome Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck program, to the show, along with Gabe Victel. He is the G in the KGB show.
Yes, ma'am.
And we had the K last week. Now we're having the G. I assume we'll probably have the B at some point.
Eventually, I was told that the B was supposed to be here today.
Really?
The G was supposed to be here tomorrow.
Which, oh. You
know, but the B had to fly out, so, you know, the G is coming in before the B now.
Well, it was interesting because Caden, who, of course, we're talking about, was on the show last week, and he was like, I feel like I need to preface this with, like, it's KGB is just our initials. We're not affiliated with Russia.
Not at all.
We're not Russian puppets, so I was glad that he clarified that. But, you know, it's really maddening when you see something like this happen, and I'm going to try not to get emotional. I am a female, so we tend to do that every once in a while. But this hits particularly close to home because, you know, my children go to a very small Christian private school. And I know on this program, we so often talk about public schools and how, you know, all of the problems surrounding those. You don't see this typically happen at such a school like this, a very small private school. It doesn't even go all the way through 12th grade. It only goes up to sixth grade. And we don't even know if the parents know yet, right? If the family members know yet, yeah, that their babies are dead. And you already have Karine Jean-Pierre standing up on a podium telling everyone that we need to do something. And I don't think we have this, but we have on all of these newscasts, we have left-wing activists going and interrupting newscasts, mm-hmm, to go and claim, well, what I do know is that it probably was a gun that wasn't safely stored, and it probably was this, and it probably was that. Can we not wait until all the facts come out before we start saying we're going to take everyone's guns because bad guys are going to kill people?
Yeah, that'd be nice. And let's just say, you know, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to politicize it. At least be a little bit more genuine, mm-hmm, a little bit more believable in it. Like, Biden basically said the same thing eventually after he got around talking about frickin' ice cream, the Congress needs to pass my assault weapons ban. Get the hell out of here with that. You had 2 years of full government control. If you wanted to do something, they could have easily done something, but they didn't want to do something because, like every other liberal left-wing agenda, they don't care about doing anything. They care about exploiting the thing.
Yep.
That's the only thing they care about. I went to a private Christian school, kind of similar, but it went up to 12th grade. And typically, I've seen private schools take security a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a
gap here because I think when you've got those really small schools, they don't think that anything like that would ever happen to them, right? They're very lax because everybody knows everybody. I mean, I'm not excusing it.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe perhaps that's their mentality and they get a little bit too relaxed.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, and plus, like, all these people, every time they see something like this happen, they're like, well, taking this seriously, doing something, that sounds like a pretty good idea. But they never do anything. I've seen schools back when I used to work in the security industry before that actually do take it seriously. Mm. And they'll hire private firms. Mm. They're not scary. They're not wanding people at the door. Mm-hmm. But they do have cameras. It's very locked down. They have guys that look like me, basically. Well, maybe not now, but when I had hair and was younger and better looking. I guess, do a little scary now. But very normal business-looking dudes that are just walking around in sport coats, and no one even knows that they're security. Mm-hmm. There's very easy ways to do this, but I don't really think they're interested in it. Just exploitation.
That's I went to a private Christian school growing up for 6 years, like you did as well. And the entrance for the school was like heavily locked down. Mm. Like there was cameras everywhere. It almost looked like a prison between the outside world and the office area. And then after that, there would always be people in the office that are checked. And the pastor, like he carries, right? Like he carried around. So he didn't tell anyone this, right, but I just know this because, you know, I became friends with him later. But like we need to have, you know, these people that are armed in the school in case anything like this situation happens again, you know?
Yeah. Can I say, I mean, I don't want to get into the realm of speculation on this because like you said, all these details are going to change multiple different times. But for just from the things that we do know, right? Well, actually they started off saying it was a teenage woman, a white woman, but now apparently that's even wrong. Now they're saying it was a 28-year-old white woman that used to go to the school.
Right.
So she left, I'm assuming, we'll speculate, she stayed till sixth grade. So she's been gone for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So this does not sound like a personal issue to me. This sounds like some other agenda-driven issue. I don't like to speculate, but it kind of sounds like it. But I'm going to, actually, right now. Because, I mean, you just look at all the things that we're being, that's hyper-partisan right now. And people are whipped into a frenzy. Whether that be climate activists freaking out because they think the world's about to end. Because that's the way the left is driving them to. Or how about the issue of race? Or gender has to be in everything. You've got to look for it literally in everything. It's got to be so exhausting. But what do? They know what they're doing. They're pissing people off with that. They're whipping people into a frenzy. I'm just not going to be surprised if we find out that this is some kind of politically driven event.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It could even be politically driven by the right eventually. And obviously, I'd hope to see the right wing side of things take a step back and let the parents grieve, let the families grieve. But this is an attack on a Christian school. You know, we see Christians persecuted around the entire world. We're the most persecuted group of people. And this was an attack on a Christian school, the Christian youth specifically, that happens to be a bit more Christian if they are Christian right now. So it could be used by the right in certain ways, but we need to, you know, let the parents grieve, let the families grieve, because it'd be really messed up to go up there and say, hey, I just came here for ice cream and now pass my assault weapons ban, but for the right wing, you know.
So I'm trying to keep up to date here. And I'm reading that apparently reporting is that there are people who are live streaming the FBI who have already descended upon a house in Nashville. So they look, when they knew that she was 28, they clearly knew who she was. They've identified her. Well, why don't we have that name?
Right.
Because every time, this is how it goes. They know, they scrub social media, they remove all social media posts so that you can't go on and see what type of posts this person was posting. You can't go on and see perhaps who she supported politically. You can't go on and see that. Law enforcement takes that away from you, removes that, and then wants to trickle information out so you don't know what information you're getting, if it's accurate, if it's, you know, comprehensive. You don't know, because they get to trickle out the information to you. That's not the way this used to be done.
Yeah, which fuels the speculation.
Correct.
You'll get people saying all kinds of crazy things, and it'll get crazier and crazier and crazier when they keep that information close to the vest. I don't know why it's taken them so long. I was doing the same thing right up until
There's no other reasonable answer, Jason. Can you think of one other reasonable answer of why it is taking so long for them to release the name of a suspect who just killed children?
No.
There is zero.
None.
I mean, nobody knows if, you know, this young lady had any, you know, accomplices in this crime as well. You know, we have no clue whatsoever. If we had known the name, there's a chance that, you know, oh, I heard about this. You know, this was already something that she was posting about on social media, whatever. We could have anticipated it more and or catch any, you know, accomplices in this crime.
Yeah.
But they're not allowing any of that to happen.
And also, if we all know, if this was a certain demographic, this would be everywhere. Certain demographic and political point of view.
Mm-hmm. This was
instantly, either would have been an official statement or leaked like that.
Literally, if this was a white, male, Christian, Trump supporter, what else can I add to the long list of things that liberals hate? Yeah.
It's also, I know we got to go to break here in a second, but the assault weapons ban thing is just driving me nuts. Like, number one, when it was enacted, it did nothing. All of the federal government's own statistics, I'm sure you could speak to this more than I could, Jason, because I'm not as big of a nerd as you.
That's true.
But their own data doesn't suggest that it did anything to stop these things from happening. So they want to do more of the same, take more rights away from law-abiding citizens, and what, make murder more illegaler? Mm-hmm. And somehow it's already a crime to commit murder. And this person, for whatever reason, which I hope that we find out eventually, has decided that they don't care whether or not they are committing a crime. So you're just going to take the rights away from law-abiding citizens, and it's not even going to do anything, as the data shows from the last time they did this. Do I have that right, Jason?
You got it.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. Art, by the way, I know the left hates it, but our thoughts and prayers are with the community over in Nashville, because we do believe in praying here. We want to thank our sponsor here, Tommy John. So Tommy John is literally, I know you guys, I kid you not, you think that I'm hyping this up and that it's all hype and that I'm just exaggerating and oh my God, Sarah's a drama queen. No, I'm being serious. Tommy John is the softest, most comfortable clothing I've ever put on my body. And I know you probably know them for their men's underwear, but they also have loungewear. They also have pajamas. They also have women's underwear and bras. They've got it all. And it is the softest freaking fabric. I don't know how they do it. It is magic. All I know is that when I get home, I cannot wait to put on my Tommy John loungewear because I do live in a zoo. And it makes it that much more easy. It makes it easier to deal with the zoo that I live when I put on my Tommy John. Everything, by the way, is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. So you have nothing to lose. Go try them now. They've got some new spring designs over at TommyJohn.com/Y. Get 20% off of your first order over at TommyJohn.com/Y. See site for details. So I want to talk for a second about all of the violence that has started erupting within the trans community. And, you know, we talk a lot about how the patriarchy has seemed to, like, full circle take over all of women's everything. And we're seeing violence erupt not just locally here in Texas, not just here in the country, but also around the world. So I want to play a couple different things that happened just since Friday. Friday, the Texas House was listening to people testify about bills. Of course, the left would tell you that they're anti-trans bills, but really they're just protecting children bills. And at one point, I want to play for you one of the activists that was there. I don't know which of the two genders this person was. It's not immediately clear. So this person, this activist, blocks the sergeant at arms from taking the microphone of the transgender woman, so biological male, who is trying to speak because his time is up. And he keeps going because he doesn't respect the laws at all. And this activist blocks the sergeant at arms from actually taking charge of the situation. Here's that.
Country, and I will not stand for it. We will not stand for it. We may not win today, and we may not win tomorrow, but we will persist as we always have in the fight of your oppression. If you wish to eradicate transgenderism from the public life, as members of your party have said, to quote a hero of yours, you can pry that from my cold, dead hands.
Okay. So it wasn't just in Texas. There's also over the weekend in New Zealand, a British woman's rights campaigner. She is known by Posey Parker. Kelly J. Keene is her name. She was prepared to speak on a stage when a counter-protester came from behind and poured tomato juice all over her before quickly being taken down by security. So let's watch some of that. So she's being taken away by security. You see all of the people trying to push her, trying to assault her, putting air horns in her face.
Terrified.
Of course. I mean, I would be terrified, too, if a bunch of men were surrounding me trying to assault me, because I guess that's now allowed when you identify as a female. All right, that's good. So it was not just that. It happened to our very own Alex Stein over the weekend. He was at trans rally, drag rally. I'm going to let him tell us in a second, but I want to play what happened to him when he attended one of these events over the weekend in San Francisco. Watch.
No touching.
I want you to see these white racist heterosexual.
No trusting.
You look just like him.
Pouring liquid all over him. And then, of course, bravely running away.
Yeah.
Like a little bitch. We're gonna have him tell us.
What rights do you not have?
What rights do you not have? Simple question.
What rights do you not have?
All right, so I think we've seen enough here because we have, of course, the man himself, Alex Stein, host of Primetime with Alex Stein on Blaze TV. Alex, tell us, that was wild. What all was thrown at you?
Well, Sarah, I'm a little upset because you didn't show the best part of the videos when I got, peppered with hot coffee right in my face, not expecting it. Luckily, I had sunglasses on, so it just very little got in my eyes. But honestly, Sarah, these people that want acceptance and want to be fair and all these, trigger words they use, it's all fake. They literally just want to beat me up and throw coffee on me, all because I want to have a simple conversation. And that question that I asked, what rights don't you have? I asked that in a much more calmer manner. I tried to have that nuanced conversation with multiple people at that rally, and not one transgender person at that rally could name one right that they do not have.
How was it just women? I mean, there were a lot of people touching you. And I'm very, you know, you're one of my best, dearest friends. And I get very protective of my friends. And I see these people with their hands all over you. And it's like really making me mad. Was it just women? Were there men doing it too? Because I find it to be so wild that we live in a time where people feel that comfortable going up and assaulting you.
Well, first of all, I want to say hey to Jason. I just got to see his beautiful mug. Hey, Jason. But no, this is what it was. This is what it was, Sarah. And I don't know if I was clear about it. This was not a trans rally. A trans rally, that's fine. This was a youth trans rally. This was in defiance of the laws that they passed in Idaho and laws that they're passing, trying to pass in Texas and that they pass in Florida that limit gender reassignment surgery for children. So this rally was specifically so children could get gender reassignment surgery or state-funded hormones. So this is not some adult trans rally. This is just like Drag Your Kids to Pride. This is a trans youth rally dedicated to transitioning more children.
Where was law enforcement?
They were there. They were right there, Sarah. They could care less. As a matter of fact, and I have this, we're going to put out the longer cut. When the San Francisco Police Department first came on the scene, they grabbed me. They pulled me to the side.
No.
Like I was under arrest. And they said, oh, sir, you have to stand over here. I said, no, I don't. And we have this on camera. I said, I have just as every legal right to protest as these people do, too. And once I gave the San Francisco Police Department some kickback, they were kind of like, all right, well, he's just on his own. We're not going to protect him. And that's when I went in the crowd. That's when they threw coffee on me. That's when they threw water on me. That's when they were grabbing me and pushing me. And the cops did nothing. And I know this is going to be probably not universally accepted, but really, I don't even want any of them to go to jail. I know a lot of other people.
Not accepted by me.
But yeah. I know, but I'm saying these people need mental health care for their gender dysphoria. Them going to jail, I could care less. And this is another thing, Sarah. One of the biggest trans people that were yelling at me had just gone viral the week before for going in front of the San Francisco City Council. And in their speech, their viral speech, they're cussing. They're saying the grossest stuff. Words that if I said at a city council meeting, I would not only get thrown out of, they would probably try to sue me for some sort of hate speech.
So control room, do you have that part with the coffee or no?
Yeah, they played it. No, they played
it. Okay.
They played it on the other screen. Yeah. After.
Okay. Yeah.
I got hit with warm coffee. But this is real quick. Why the warm coffee was weird. It wasn't so hot that it was still hot because they had been walking the protest. But I thought it was urine at first. When I got hit with warm water, I was really freaked out because, you see, I got hit with a jug of cold water. The cold water didn't mess with me at all. I was like, oh, that's water. But at first, I had my glasses. I didn't see it coming. I thought like I got urinated or something. I mean, I didn't immediately taste the coffee in my mouth because it was so chaotic. But yes, it was very unpleasant to say the least.
I notice it looks like your hat somehow managed to avoid coffee stains.
No, it's all stained up.
Oh, is
no,
it? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, but I did bleach it. I did wash it. This is my favorite hat. And that video got, I think it's got 6 million hits. So, you know, this is my lucky hat. They could pour coffee on it, blood. I don't care. You're going to have to pry this hat off my cold, dead head one day.
So here, but here's my problem, Alex, is that you and I are kind of a different breed. And we're crazy enough that we will go confront these people no matter what, right? It's difficult because I want to convince people we have to show up at things like this, right? We have to show up. We can't let them run the show because we know the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and that's why they've been able to be so successful, is that they're the ones out there being loud about it. So how do we convince people to show up with us when you just get assaulted?
Well, Sarah, that's actually a really great question because I was there with John Dennis, who's the chairman of the California Republican Party. He's a, you know, high-ranking member, an elected official in their party. And him and I were the only two people at this youth trans rally. Now, if this was done in Dallas, Sarah, you would have had your organization. There would have been 10 different counter-protesting organizations. But in San Francisco, it's easier to come out of the closet as being gay than to come out of the closet as a conservative. So, there, you know, people are just afraid to even touch the trans subject. They're afraid to even give it any kickback. So I'm really worried because I know if this happened in Dallas, there would be people like us standing against it. But this happening in San Francisco, a guy like me, an idiot from Dallas, was the only person that had the testicles. And I know there's a lot of women there with testicles to go up and do something about it.
Okay, so I know we got to let you go here in a second, Alex, but Is there a point where I mentioned I'm the protective friend, right? Is there a point where you would be, they would injure you enough where you would consider pressing charges? Because I want these bastards all, like, I want the books thrown at all of them.
Sadly, Sarah, the answer is this. My favorite thing is I love when they show those court shows, and I would have never thought this was possible until I lost my mom, but they show the court shows, and sometimes, you know, the victim statements in court, and they'll be like, oh, I don't want the person to go to jail for life.
No.
So my point is, now listen, my point is, if somebody shot me in the derriere like Forrest Gump, and it was the most viral video of the week, no charges.
No!
As a matter of fact, I would bond him out of jail.
No!
No.
Jail, yes!
Stop!
Not even for the hat? Not even for the hat.
Dude,
you know,
hat.
You could at least sue for a new hat. You
or
know, I heard it's your
dry
favorite
cleaning.
One. Exactly.
No, you're right. But guys, I'm very litigious. But I like to sue New York City, Dallas County, AOC. I'm not going to sue some trans person that's suffering from gender dysphoria. And you are right. Actually, some of the people on Twitter that said, hey, you should press charges because now this sets a precedent that they can't hurt us.
Exactly.
And listen, we don't have all the facts with this latest shooting, but now it's looking like this shooter might have suffered from gender dysphoria. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It is kind of weird that these people that are getting so emboldened to hurt quote unquote conservative people with no punishment is a bad precedent to set. I do agree with that. But personally, I'm just a nice guy. I don't want to, you know, they can
too nice.
On me all day.
You're too nice. I would like the record to be very clear here. If they do that to me, much different outcome.
Oh, yeah.
Much different outcome.
As Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Alex, get home safely, please.
See you tomorrow. I'll be back. See you guys soon. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
See you, Gabe. See you, Jason.
Hey, man.
Yeah, Alex.
See ya. I want to give you guys a chance to speak here. I don't, like, where does it end? Because this is getting a little scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, Alex.
Don't apply to them.
Alex has, you know, the biggest pair I could ever, you know, imagine. Because not only do we all live in the United States, the, you know, LGBTQ capital of the world, but we also, he went to San Francisco, the capital of the capital, which is.
The capital's capital.
Yeah, the capital's capital, where all the LGBTQ people roam. You know, I would bet money that is most of the population of San Francisco. But you see the low impulse control in these communities, right? They're always attacking right-wing political pundits that are just going out there, or right-wing political people that are just going out there asking questions, right? This happened to my buddy last week in Tennessee, and now it happened to Alex Stein. And Alex Stein, you know, is nice, and he's not pressing charges, but I know that my friend is. I know that
good,
Bo is. So.
Good, good. Yeah. I'm glad. Everyone needs you. These people, I agree with Alex with the sentiment that they suffer from mental illness. I agree with that. However, they're not going to be treated.
Yeah.
Doctors are not going to treat them. They're just going to enable their delusions. So at this point, we're just faced with, do we get them the hell off the street so that they stop doing this, or at least give them a precedent that you're not allowed to do this without consequences, or do we just do nothing?
So where this ends is, do you know what the Bubba effect is?
Yes.
It's the Bubba effect. So basically, for anyone that doesn't know, the Bubba effect is when the authorities, the government, when they refuse to act, you're going to get Bubba, who's going to be like, nope, screw that. I'm taking this into my own hands.
Which makes you wonder if that's what they want to happen anyway.
It's exactly what they want, because that's exactly what happened right up until when Donald Trump got elected. You started seeing people like, I don't know, like Patriot Prayer out on the West Coast, or like Proud Boys, or people that would be willing to stand there and said, we can actually take a punch. Right. We know you can't. Do you want me to test that?
Right.
And then they didn't like that. And then pretty soon that became like all you would see on MSNBC. Suddenly it wasn't Antifa that were the people that were the bad guys. It was the ones that were willing to stand in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was the people that were actually willing, like the left loves to protest, to show up on January 6th and say, look, we don't agree with this. You know, and we are going to protest. That's what happens. Then they turn that into, oh, those are the bad guys now.
Yeah.
See, we told you they were bad. Here they are.
Right.
That's going to happen again. The more this happens, the more people, you know, for every, reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
So you brought up January 6th. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. And I want to play for you guys the new footage that has emerged showing more police. I mean, I'd say interference, but it's the exact opposite. DC undercover police actually encouraging and helping people get into the Capitol. We'll play that when we come back.
Love that.
Hi. It's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Hey guys, those of you who are watching on YouTube, do us a favor and make sure that you hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and of course, give us a comment. Tell us what you think of the episode so that more people are able to see the program. Because as you know, the overlords at YouTube, they don't love us. I'm gonna be honest. They really do not love us. So if you could do that, that would be super helpful. So I teased this January 6th stuff, but I actually want to go back to, I mentioned at the beginning of this program, the details are ever changing anytime there is a shooting. And, you know, we can only give you the details as of the time of this taping. But as we were in break, the news surfaced that I know Alex alluded to it when we spoke to him, that the latest is that, you know, the shooter whose name I will not say, I would like for you guys to not say the name because it's just our policy that we are not going to give attention to mass shooters like this. But the person, Alex had it a little bit right, but a little bit wrong. The reports are suggesting, this is NBC News reporting, okay? The same name of the shooter is the person who DC Drano on Twitter, Rogan O'Hanley, I suggest you follow him, has identified as a biological woman identifying as he, him. And I want to tie this all together here because the latest reporting, all signs point to this being a transgender person. The person entered through the church first and advanced on the janitor, reports say, before going into the school part. This is a church, right? It's a church and it's a school. So there are major questions that need to be asked that I'm sure the left would have no problem asking had they, as you guys pointed out, had it been a white guy wearing a red hat. Will we get those answers, though? Because as we discussed before, oh, Instagram account deleted, gone. You can't find it. Now, I believe, again, if you guys are following Rogan O'Hanley, you can go. He's got a bunch of stuff on this person before everything went down.
Which I would just like to say, we don't know if that name is this person at this time.
We don't. Yeah. But what I can tell you is that the reporting from where the FBI is, the geolocation data, where the FBI is searching this person's house right now, matches the address that they have for this he, him biological woman identifying as a male.
This young, sadly mentally ill chick who has passed away, but, you know, before passing away, took children's lives. Still a very disgusting, you know, individual, nonetheless, right?
This is why I said to Alex what I just said. These people are emboldened because their community has seen no repercussions for any of the attacks, the crime, any of what they have done, they see no repercussions for. So why wouldn't they be emboldened to say, I'm going to do it. I just went to a trans rally and beat the hell out of a giant man because he asked me what rights I don't have. Yeah. Why wouldn't I go do whatever I want?
Yeah, if you're going to protest or be violent in the name of a left-wing cause, you have been proven over the past couple years that you can literally burn cities to the ground and hardly anything will happen to you. Now, let's put it on the other side, on the right side of the spectrum. They are so freaked out from their words, direct quote, the shock and awe campaign from January 6th. They arrested 1,000 people. They've just said they're going to want to arrest 1,000 more. And they also said the candidate you voted for, they're constantly looking for something to arrest him for, possibly for something that Hillary Clinton did the same and just paid a $100,000 fine, but they might arrest him. Not a single protest that I've heard about. They are that scared. Mm-hmm. That's the difference here. Left-wing cause, burn a city down, be as violent as you want, cops won't do anything. Mm-hmm. On the right, shock and awe campaign, 2,000 people arrested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely insane.
The right wing for a long time just, you know, poorly was drawing lines on where this stuff would stop. And, you know, Alex said he's not pressing charges, but this is the conclusion of what will happen over and over again if we allow pushing, allow, you know, coffee getting thrown, allow just assault to happen. And then they're going to say, well, they're like, this is totally cool, you know, to assault right wingers. Let me go, you know, shoot up this school that has, you know, Christian children whose parents are most likely right wing as well. And, you know, again, this individual was, you know, transgender. Very likely. Possibly. They are allegedly transgender, as NBC News states. And very likely to be, you know, left-wing. At least I understand the transgender ideology to be a left-wing one, so.
Yeah, it's just, it's really frustrating because it seems that you wouldn't think that law enforcement would be a bureaucracy that would somehow demonize conservatives who have vehemently in the past supported them and somehow run cover for left-wing activists who are Looney Tunes and committing actual crimes, but that doesn't seem to be happening. And I don't know if it's because all of the good ones are gone in law enforcement and it's just run by all of these corrupt people, these corrupt woke people at the top, and everyone receives their marching orders.
Law enforcement is, I think most of them feel like they're screwed. Like, no one cares about them.
Yeah.
Their own city councils are demonizing them, saying they want to take away their money. Well, they want to, like, just the amount of lawsuits. I've got multiple family members that are cops. The amount of lawsuits they face for just the stupidest crap. And the only thing that, like, keeps them from losing everything is maybe their boss, the boss ahead. You know, it goes all the way up to, like, the mayor. But when you don't even have, like, the mayor on your side, when you definitely probably don't have a source district attorney on your side, like, who really is on their side? Mm-hmm. They probably think, like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're, like, standing there. You're on that post, and you see this happening. They're like, do I intervene, lose my job, get sued? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine what they're facing right now. I feel sorry for most of the cops.
Yeah, it's way harder nowadays to be a police officer than it used to be. You know, if this stuff was happening, if, you know, there was people getting assaulted at LGBTQ rallies or whatever, or, you know, school shooting happening, maybe 50 years ago, all the officers would have been there instantaneously. There probably would have been cops in the schools running heavier security. And, you know, there wouldn't be as many mentally ill deranged people running around committing these heinous crimes against not only, you know, right wingers, but just children in general.
Yeah. So I know we got to take a break, but I just want to state for the record, I would be willing to place a bet that someone out there of some sort of notoriety will make the excuse for them, well, if the trans community didn't feel so marginalized, this wouldn't have happened. Like, somehow they're going to shift it back to it's your fault for calling them out and saying, you know, that maybe we shouldn't be mutilating children or what have you. Like, they're going to spin this around and it's still going to be your fault. I can almost promise you they're going to do that.
Money on it being Joe Biden?
Probably. All right, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with more. U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced yesterday that lawmakers would advance legislation proposing a nationwide ban on TikTok after the CEO of TikTok testified before Congress last week. Kevin McCarthy said it's very concerning that the CEO of TikTok can't be honest and admit what we already know to be true. China has access to TikTok user data. The House will be moving forward with legislation to protect Americans from the technological tentacles of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, It's fascinating to watch the slow bipartisan effort that Donald Trump proposed way back when, and the left said he was so mean. Now all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, as it turns out, he was right. TikTok is really bad. But there is one facet in Congress who has not jumped on. That is, of course, the Squad. I want to play for you AOC defending TikTok. Watch.
This week, the CEO of TikTok came and testified before Congress as there is growing rumblings and discussion over a nationwide ban on the app. Do I believe TikTok should be banned? No. Why should TikTok not be banned? First of all, I think it's important to discuss how unprecedented of a move
this would be. She just did the white supremacy symbol.
The United States has never before banned a social media company. Ooh. From existence, from operating in our borders.
Okay,
and
no,
this is an
all right,
app that
that's,
has-
that's fine, I've seen enough. So I would just like to throw into the conversation here, because I know we've only got a couple minutes left. So coincidentally enough, she received $150,000 donated to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Foundation, and she is a member of that advisory council. So her organization received $150,000 from ByteDance, which is, of course, TikTok's parent company, along with the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, who I'm sure some of the other members of the Squad are also members of. So $300,000 total that the parent company of TikTok is donating to these foundations. But I'm sure that's just coincidence and has nothing to do with why AOC doesn't want TikTok to be banned.
Oh, surely not. Mm-hmm. And also the majority of her voters are in that, you know, they all use TikTok. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they don't care about the national security implications at all. And I know you got a couple minutes.
No, you're
so
good.
Give you some time,
we got 2 minutes.
So,
go ahead.
So, really? Is that enough for me? You know me.
No, that's not. Well, the program's only, I think, 44 minutes, and that's not enough for you either,
yeah.
Jason.
So in summation, does TikTok pose a national security risk? And they say that they don't because they established this thing called Project Texas, which gives the company Oracle oversight, and they house the data, and they look at the source code. Well, I'm not buying that at all because ByteDance is the parent company over in China. China has a national security law that says if you are a Chinese company, you are required to participate in surveillance and intelligence operations. So it don't matter what they put in place. Something's happening. So no, they need to get out of here. It's absolutely insane to me that this is still a thing. Like, it should be gone.
Yeah, I started, like, my political, I guess, career through TikTok, right? Like, that's where it all began.
Wow.
And I, since don't have it on my phone, I've deleted it probably a million times. Maybe sometimes I'll go on just to download a crazy leftist video to make a video about. But, yeah, no, what you said is 100% right. These corporations, right, like specifically ByteDance, they are harvesting our data for sure. Like, we know this, and we've known this forever. We've known this for a while. But AOC even said in the video, she's like, oh, but it shouldn't even matter because all these other social media apps also, like, harvest your data. And it's like, yeah, like, maybe we should ban those
right.
too. Like, you know, have you thought about that?
I said that last week. I know. They're like, well, that doesn't make them any different than Facebook and, you know, YouTube. And I'm like, I agree. That's
yeah,
a problem.
It's like, yeah, it's like, we're not defending Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever. We're just against all of that. You know, we want more privacy.
They were in an uproar when they found out that, like, the right was using this to influence, like, Brexit over
right.
the UK, or, like, the Trump campaign was doing it during the 2016 election. They were in an uproar.
Yeah,
they were like,
yeah.
fix this. But when it's the communists,
that's the thing is, like, I agree. Like, we shouldn't have any companies who are taking advantage and harvesting our data and taking our sensitive personal information. But when you're sending it to the Chinese Communist Party, I think that's, like, a little bit of a
yeah.
difference than, you know, I guess sending it to the American Communist Party, which is currently in charge.
Yeah. I mean, TikTok is just bad in general, though.
Yeah.
You know, even if it wasn't a national security threat, at least to me, I would ban it. I'd see it as almost softcore, like, pornography.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that on the show, but, like, we should ban pornography. Some states have already, you know, put it in place where, like, you can't watch it unless you're over 21, and we should do the same thing for TikTok, potentially.
It just,
that's
just
what I'd propose.
It breeds mental illness, so
it does.
Be eliminated anyway. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. CNN writer John Blake over the weekend accused white people of wearing digital blackface if they share memes or GIFs featuring black people and expressions in order to convey comic relief or express emotions. He said, black people get a pass for using them, But if white people use them, they inadvertently perpetuate one of the most insidious forms of contemporary racism. So stop using black people in memes, I guess. They just want to eliminate black people from, like, everything, I think. Yeah. They want to take Aunt Jemima off. They want to take Uncle Ben off. They don't want black people. I don't know. I don't get it.
Hey, look, I'm totally cool with Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. And I'm totally cool if anyone else uses, you know, Dave Chappelle or whatever, like those memes from his SNL days. They're hilarious, all right? Like, is this Blake guy white?
John Blake.
By chance, John Blake.
We have to find it. We have to find out. And I would like to say his, your input is, of course, qualified because you are a minority.
100%. Yeah. You know, it makes my input more valid.
Yeah, you want to try to explain it to us?
I'm shutting up on this one. I'm just going to sit over here.
John Blake appears to be a person of color.
Okay.
You're not going to white explain anything?
Find race in everything.
Use the memes more.
Still cringe.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.